You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
It's called Operation Warp Speed. That means big and it means fast. A massive scientific, industrial, and logistical endeavor, unlike anything our country has seen since the Manhattan Project. You really could say that nobody's seen anything like we're doing, whether it's ventilators or testing. Nobody's seen anything like we're doing now within our country since the Second World War.
President Trump. That is President Trump. This is May 18th, 2020, and he's talking about this new initiative to get vaccines out. He made it clear we don't care who comes up with a vaccine first. Whoever comes up with a great vaccine, we all want to see it. There's something like 14 that might be in play in the U.S., still going through some stages of testing. But the president also says, vaccine or no vaccine, we're going to open the country again, which we have to. Which we have to, and I will stress to you again, we're not really sure the numbers we've been given are accurate, and the projections apparently are way, way off the chart for where they should be. In other words, I'm not going to say somebody cried wolf when they shouldn't, but I think they emphasize the wolf is a lot bigger and more deadly. That's not to say COVID-19, coronavirus, the China virus is not deadly. It is. And especially for some parts of the population. But there's been a lot of confusion over projections. We're going to get into that a little bit later. But here comes President Trump with this Operation Warp Speed. He says we're going to move fast and big. The biggest thing we've done since World War II in the Manhattan operation, the Manhattan Project. And of course, that's when we were developing a nuclear weapon. Where do we stand now on the confusion over projections? It's still very murky, very, very murky. In fact, as we go through the next 2 hours, we'll take a closer look at it. But what we're reporting now, worldwide infections, 4.7 million. Worldwide deaths, 315,000. U.S. infections, 1.5 million. Currently just under 90,000 deaths, and somebody actually went on a limb and projected this. I could have projected this. We're just under 90,000, and the CDC is coming out saying we expect 100,000 by June 1. I don't think that's so far-fetched. But again, how good are these sources on the projections and going back to the original model? That's the real key. And, of course, the House the other day passed a $3 trillion coronavirus relief bill, the most expensive legislation approved by that body in history. And, of course, the Democrats praise it as an unprecedented response needed to deal with the pandemic and its economic fallout. The problem is, while Nancy Pelosi says, I'm thrilled, I'm so proud, 14 Democrats said, no, I'm not going to vote for that. They see it too much as a giveaway and too much liberal items included, simply to take advantage of the COVID crisis. One Republican, Congressman Pete King of New York, did vote with the Democrats and vote in favor of it. Maybe it's because of what he's been seeing in his home state, and we'll get into who's to blame for that coming up a little bit later. And the problem in California. You want to know why the California situation continues to get worse? Is because the governor's contributing directly. You can say the same about the governor of New York. And, of course, when it comes to the FBI and coverage of things lately, the media ignores it. When it comes to unveiling, unmasking, the Flynn story, the media is ignoring it. Well, here's a story I don't think they're going to be able to ignore. In fact, they'll probably jump on this one. and that is Attorney General Barr coming forward today and saying, I do not expect a criminal investigation of Obama or Biden arising from the Durham probe. Do not expect criminal investigation of Obama or Biden. We'll get into more details on that for you. Oh, and someone sent me something you should pay attention to. It said Chicago recording 70,000 COVID-19 deaths yesterday. I'm sorry, recording 70 COVID-19 deaths, complicated by bullet holes. I don't know, the number's right, and on one hand, it's not so funny with the violence they have in Chicago, but again, if you can label something COVID-19, a lot of folks are doing it now. We are ready. I hope you are. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has 30 years experience to make your company and environment safe. Wellington Environmental can give you peace of mind, and the cost is very reasonable. These days, you can't take a chance that customers, employees, your family would be exposed to COVID-19. You have to be proactive. That starts by calling Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You'll quickly see why customers have relied on Wellington Environmental for decades. COVID-19 can survive for hours on your furniture, your computers, your equipment, and every time someone touches that surface, they could be exposed. You don't want that liability. Call Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
More than anything, this pandemic has fully, finally torn back the curtain on the idea that so many of the folks in charge know what they're doing. A lot of them aren't even pretending to be in charge. If the world's going to get better, it's going to be up to you. With everything suddenly feeling like it's up for grabs, this is your time to seize the initiative. Nobody can tell you anymore that you should be waiting your turn. Nobody can tell you anymore this is how it's always been done. More than ever, this is your moment, your generation's world to shape.
Your generation's world to shape. No one can tell you to wait. And more than anything, this pandemic has fully, finally torn back the curtain on the idea that so many of the folks in charge know what they're doing. That is former President Obama. He was delivering what was supposed to be a commencement speech for historically black colleges and universities. The remarks he made there were totally political, unexpectedly political given the venue. But of course, he just couldn't hold back. He just had to say, this pandemic has finally fully torn back the curtain on the idea that so many of the folks in charge, Trump, he didn't mention him, know what they're doing. No, he did not directly name President Trump, but let me think. Who could he be referring to? Who's in charge? That's not hard to figure out, is it? I know, those graduating from colleges and universities know that Obama was referring to Trump. What you're seeing with that statement is Obama is going to continue to come out swinging as we get closer to November. It certainly appears to be, because Joe is not going to be able to make it on his own. Joe Biden is not pulling the numbers they expected. He doesn't have the support, doesn't have the enthusiasm. And we're waiting to see who he's going to put second on the ticket, assuming, of course, he does come to the Democrat convention with the nomination. But let's say he does, and who he puts on the ticket. Obama knows that he has still some cachet, still has some value to many voters, and they are looking for him for some guidance. Although, I want you to contrast that with a statement that came out recently by Michelle Obama when she was around promoting her book, saying, we don't really want to be in the limelight forever. We've done that. In other words, we did it. We got our millions and millions and millions in our big homes, Martha's Vineyard and so forth. So the rest of you just kind of squibble along the best you can, because we really don't want to be bothered with it anymore. But here's Obama coming out trying to score a few points on behalf of Joe Biden. And he can sit there and talk about how those in charge have not really understood what was going on. Well, there's been a lot of confusion. I don't care if Obama was in the White House. Would he have handled this any better or differently? That's up to consideration of so many things. But if you look at what came out of the United Kingdom originally, the model that so many were using to guide their coronavirus policies, new experts are saying, and this includes British Prime Minister Boris Johnson, and the U.S. also used the model. They predicted upwards of 2.2 million deaths in the U.S. without proper action. That little phrase, I guess that's a catchphrase to protect them. 2.2 million. That certainly helped the influence in the White House to take a more serious approach to the pandemic. That led to our shutdown all across the nation. But now some experts are being quoted in the Daily Telegraph in Britain, making fun and mocking the coding as presented by Professor Neil Ferguson, warning, and here's their quote, "It's a buggy mess that looks more like a bowl of angel hair pasta than a finely tuned piece of programming." That's the co-founder of British data technology, Juan Disco. He says, "In our commercial reality, we would fire anyone for developing code like this. Any business that relied on it to produce software for sale would likely go bust." And yet, Ferguson, from the Imperial College of London, a scientific advisor to the UK, had predicted in the UK 500,000 could die from the pandemic. And, of course, all of that's been used across Europe and here. One of the experts is quoted, and I think it's due time we acknowledge this. One of the experts noting, epidemiology is not a branch of computer science, and the conclusions around lockdown rely not on any mathematical model, but on the scientific consensus. COVID-19 is a highly transmissible virus with an infection fatality rate. And yet, here's Obama saying, this is proven, this is pulled back the curtain, showing no one in charge knows what's going on. Would he be referring to governors also of various states? You think? Do you think he would be referring to some of the governors, such as L.A. and New York? I say LA, California and New York State. You look at what happened in New York State. Governor Cuomo insisting, we don't have enough respirators. We don't have enough of this. We don't have enough hospital space. And the federal government did everything it could, shipping additional respirators and sending a hospital ship. And even a hospital was set up in one of the areas, not used at all, really. Hospital beds were not that filled. They had more than enough respirators, but then they began to ship them to other states because they realized it's not as bad as they thought it was going to be, and are. They were wrong to begin with. In the meantime, Governor Cuomo is saying nobody should be prosecuted for any fatalities caused by the coronavirus, including deaths in nursing homes. Now, why would he come out and make that statement? I don't think anyone should be prosecuted for any state's fatalities. That's because of his directive. issued March 25, which he since responded and retracted, stating no resident of a nursing home shall be denied readmission or admission to a nursing home solely based on a confirmed or suspected diagnosis of COVID-19. In other words, if they showed up with COVID-19 at a nursing home, the nursing home had to take them and put them right in with other vulnerable patients, elderly patients, and they've had more than 5,000 deaths just in their nursing homes. That's about 25% at last I checked of all the deaths in New York State. One of those analyzing and watching how Cuomo handled it in New York versus Governor DeSantis in Florida, he's a writer and contributor for National Review, and he said there's a big difference when you look at what they did in New York versus Florida.
It's a huge, huge difference and a very sad difference.
Yeah.
Here in New York State, Mario Cuomo had the brilliant idea on March 25 to tell nursing home patients, you must take people who are COVID-19 positive, people who might have gone to the hospital and been discharged once they became more medically stable. They were not allowed to send them away. In fact, they were not even required that they be tested. As a result, a lot of these folks went back to nursing homes. People got sick. Nursing homes, which had not been touched by COVID-19, suddenly became hotbeds of COVID-19. And unfortunately, a lot of seniors in nursing homes started dying in huge numbers. The death toll right now is about 5,300, something like that.
So is there any surprise that now the New York governor came rushing out yesterday and saying, hey, nobody should be prosecuted for fatalities caused by the virus, especially deaths in nursing homes? You talk about surrounding himself with the wagons. Now, again, what they did in New York compared to how Governor Santis, in Republican, in Florida, did it.
And you're focusing those efforts where the threat really exists, which is in our senior population. So we did very early with the nursing homes. We restricted visitation and we prevented hospitals from discharging COVID positive patients back into nursing homes. That's like a tinderbox if you let that happen.
Absolutely. In fact, it's just striking a match, adding fuel. And there are many deaths that happened that probably would not have happened if they had gone about it the right way. But when you have the governor of the state issuing a directive, you cannot turn away anyone that has COVID-19 coming to your nursing home facility. Then the nursing home facilities were stuck with obeying that order. Now, I don't have any relatives that might have been in nursing homes in New York State. Maybe you do, or you know other people who have. I hope they've survived so far and continue to survive. But if they suddenly fell ill, got sick, and they blame it on COVID-19, the governor is the one who told the nursing homes, you got to take them. Again, DeRoy Murdoch, writing for National Review, talking again, when you look at the numbers between Florida and New York, it's staggering.
They sent teams in to inspect these nursing homes. They sent people in to make sure the nursing homes had all the equipment they needed. They gave them additional training on how to avoid infections. And the result so far has been about 665 seniors dead in nursing homes in Florida. The death rate in Florida is about 3 per 100,000. In New York State, it's 27.5 per 100,000. So about 9 times worse.
9 times worse. And where do you see the mainstream media putting all their attention and slamming? Not China to begin with. Not the New York governor. Not any blue state governor. In fact, they want to go right to the White House and put it all on Trump, just as Obama did. And in fact, Joe Scarborough on MSNBC dared to link the predictions, the percentages that we've seen, and the president's response, and how he's tried to put it in perspective, he wants to link it to 9/11 and war, which is an absolutely stupid linkage. But let's hear him say it.
The president's saying that it's just a few people, it's just a small percentage, a very, very small percentage, which is remarkable. Nobody said that after 9/11. Nobody said the 57,000 deaths in Vietnam was a small percentage. Nobody said that deaths in Korea were just of young Americans was just a small percentage.
No, they didn't, because there's no relationship. None whatsoever. None. How does how does anyone start and say, let's compare what the president said about the relatively low number percentage-wise? Oh, well, look what we had with 9/11. Well, you do take that percentage against the world, I mean, our U.S. population. Yeah, it is a small percent. Same thing, unfortunately, with Vietnam and World War II and Korea, all of them. But there's no reason for such linkage unless you're trying to destroy the presidency in the possible as much as you can and attack it. And in fact, I'm going to spend, after the break, I'm going to show you what some are again trying to do, in addition to Scarborough, to paint the picture that if you're looking for trouble and problems with this coronavirus, you need to look at the White House. As Obama said, folks in charge. Folks in charge, the pandemic finally fully tearing back the curtain on the idea that so many folks in charge know what they're doing, and they're not even doing it. I've got that coming up after the break, and also what's happening in California. And there's another governor who claims, you know, we got to do more, Well, he's not doing enough as it is. And in fact, once again, the policies in California are actually contributing to possibly spreading COVID-19 as surely as Cuomo did with the nursing homes. But they don't want you to look at that fact. They don't want you to look at that at all. But we're going to. Of course we're going to. I'll take this break and we'll be right back.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
Mustang Sally. Guess you better slow up than Mustang down.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So as we're saying earlier, former President Obama in a commencement address over the weekend decided to knock the folks in charge. That would be in the White House. That would be Trump, while not naming him, for not doing what they need to be doing and don't seem to really know what they're doing and even pretending to be in charge when they're not really in charge. Again, it's an effort to blame any problems on the coronavirus on Trump. We know the left-wing media carries that water for the Dems on a constant basis. Let me give you another example. An Associated Press White House reporter. Now, I'm telling you, this is Associated Press. You would think a reporter with the Associated Press would know the difference between commentary, personal perspective, versus fact. So he's on with Jake Tapper, and they're talking about how this has been handled so far. I take it back. He's on with Joe Scarborough, MSNBC. Doesn't really make any difference. It's what he says is important. He's a White House reporter, and when it comes to any failings we might find in dealing with coronavirus, here comes this White House reporter for AP. Listen to this non-factual, personal bias statement.
As we know, he's never been comfortable or effective in that role as sort of consoler in chief, one to show empathy for the loss of Americans, those who have sick or have died or have lost their jobs. And, you know, he struggled with that in previous crises or tragedies, wildfires. And we're certainly seeing it very, very acutely here with the pandemic. He's never been able to sound the notes that I think a lot of Americans hope to hear from the Oval Office.
That is his summation of President Trump. As we know, he has not been able to show compassion. What do you mean, as we know? There's nothing that says we know. If you look at facts, you've seen numerous cases, but they don't want to do that. And again, it's that story. We just keep telling it over and over again. More and more will believe it, and they'll recite it. How about what happened in California, Governor Newsom? He's warning now about a potential third wave of coronavirus. I mean, God, we can't open up that vaccine. Now we might have a third wave coming. We might have some. Now, maybe some of his third wave that he's so concerned about goes back to what they're doing in his state. You know, since the beginning of this month, in California, they released more than 5,500 inmates into local communities, 700 being released every week across the state. And word is coming out that many times they're not really tested for coronavirus before they're being released. No, the L.A. County's Office of Diversion Reentry telling the L.A. Times many inmates being released from jail over concerns of the virus spreading in the jail, but they're not getting a test before they set them free. They're releasing them because they don't want them to get the virus inside the jail. They may already have it. They have not tested them. Or when they do test them, they go and set them free before they get the test results back. In fact, they point out one guy who had been released, and a week after being released, word came, oh, you're positive, by the way. Oh, now you tell me. All right, we'll take a break, and when we come back, we're going to look at how the media also continues to look for ways to attack the FBI and reshape the FBI. And there's a time they hated the FBI, but now they love the FBI, at least what it had been doing. Please stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm sure you have some alarms to let you know if someone breaks into your home. But what happens if your home is invaded by creatures? Six legs, eight legs, maybe more. Rottler Pest Solutions can help keep those pests out of your house. And if they're already inside, get them out. In fact, you can get a free, no-obligation inspection and estimate to protect your home. You can get that at any time. Go online to Rottler.com. Rottler.com, schedule your free inspection today. Rottler is the largest family-owned pest control business in Missouri. 10 locations, more than 200 team members. Plus, Rottler has a money-back guarantee. If you're not happy for any reason, they will make it right or your money back. You know, I first called Rottler more than 40 years ago, so I know they will take good care of you. I continue to trust Rottler. Rottler Pest Solutions, Rottler.com, Rottler.com.
Well, if you've been true, well, if you've been true, you better look me in the eye. Well, all I smell is cheap perfume.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So as I told you earlier, word broke shortly as we began this program today. Attorney General Bill Barr saying he does not expect the U.S. Attorney John Durham's look into the Russian probe will lead to a criminal investigation, and those words in quotes, criminal investigation, of either former President Barack Obama or former Vice President Joe Biden. And he made that statement while noting that their concern of, quote, potential criminality in the conduct of that probe is focused on others. In other words, Barr says we are looking at some criminal charges coming out of how the Russian probe was started and fueled and carried forward. But I do not expect. Now, I wonder if he's hedging his words when he said do not expect. Anyway, do not expect either Obama or Biden to be part of the criminal investigation. He did say, not every abuse of power, no matter how outrageous, is necessarily a federal crime. And he added to this, as for President Obama and Vice President Biden, whatever their level of involvement, based on what I know, I don't expect Durham's work, his investigation, will lead to a criminal investigation of either one of them. Now, of course, just last week, President Trump was insisting Obama had to be involved in a crime because of the way they were carrying out the investigation, how they fabricated stuff, how the FBI just continued to feed information and live on information that they created and feed it into the media so it would stir up more and more folks to be angry as to what's going on, that somehow or another Russians must to help Trump get in office or helping him stay in office. And all of that was dismissed when the Mueller report came out. But it wasn't enough for the Democrats. They continued to look for another way because that was their kill shot, basically, and they missed. So they took another stand and went to the Ukraine, quid pro quo, and then tried to use that as a link for impeachment. Lost that as well. And now that we've had transcripts released showing what's taking place behind the closed doors, we see that we were being lied to by Democrats Schiff and Nadler. See, the Republicans who were taking part in those behind-closed-doors meetings at the time, they did not, and I insist again for you to understand, they did not come out and talk about what was going on in the room. They just didn't do it. But Schiff would come out, Clapper, Brennan, the very ones who had been under oath testifying, and they would go on one of their favorite networks, such as CNN, or MSNBC, or any liberal outlet, be it publication or print or broadcast, and they would say, yeah, the other shoe's going to drop. You watch. It's coming. Yeah, we found some stuff. We know there's some damning stuff in here. I mean, they would go on and on and on, teasing the American public, hyping it, getting their partisan group behind them, demanding, oh, Trump's got to go. These guys are coming out and saying this. All the Republicans could do at that time, and they followed the law, is simply saying, that's not true. You got to wait and see all of it. That's not right what they're saying. But that had to be infuriating. Put yourself in that position. Say you're in there as one of the congressmen, senators, listening to this testimony. And when James Clapper is asked directly, do you know and have any evidence that any member of the Russian team coordinated anything with any member of the Trump team? Do you have any evidence whatsoever? Any evidence? And the answer would be no. And sometimes I have no empirical evidence. In other words, I have nothing. And you hear them say that to you because you're sitting there. And then you walk out of the room and hear all the cameras. And the Republicans just kind of move past them because there's nothing they can really say. They're supposed to be under a gag order, not say anything. But Schiff proudly marches right up to the cameras and the microphones and says, we don't just have circumstantial evidence. We got evidence. We got more to come. Indicating that what they just heard from Clapper, that's going to put the final nail in the coffin of Donald Trump. Do you know how many times they thought they had a final nail to put in that coffin? How many times? I can't count them, can you? And how would you feel? I mean, you sit there and you watch one of your fellow colleagues in the House or Senate lying directly to the American public, and you can't go correct them. All you can do is say, well, that's not right. There's more to come. But you can't get in specifics as they're trying to do it. And that's because they knew they could play that game and the lapdog media around them would suck it up and spread the message. And, of course, before the most recent events, as all of this was going underway, and you got FBI agents stroke Smurf, and his lover, Lisa Page, in the FBI, and Deputy Director McCabe, and Director Comey, and all the other of that echelon group, lying, scheming, moving around, not being truthful, and in fact, to the extent that later McCabe is fired by the FBI because they said, when we inquired about some things, leaks, he was not truthful with us. That is the same as lying to the FBI, the very thing they got Flynn on, saying he lied to the FBI. Not perjury, because he wasn't charged with anything at that time, but he lied while they were questioning him. McCabe did the same thing. What's he get? Pat on the back, say, goodbye, you're out of here, you can't stay any longer. And I don't know what they've done with his pension. I'd like to know. But, of course, he's suing that he got unduly dismissed, as is Stroke. But the coverage of the FBI up to that time from the left, they hated the FBI. I mean, before we had them targeting Trump. They hated the FBI. They thought it was probably something that's going to dismantle the entire world and take all of our civil rights, as you were being a leftist, your rights being away. Suddenly they get concerned about rights. And in fact, I've got a piece that I want to share with you. This is remarks made by the former FBI Assistant Deputy Director, Terry Turchie. He was on Fox and Friends this morning. And he said, you look at how the mainstream media used to attack the FBI. Just look at the past.
Over the years, the radical left element in both the Democratic Party and the media essentially wanted the FBI to rebuild so it would be a more comfortable kind of fit for them. And that's actually what Robert Mueller spent many years doing. And it became so bad, in fact, Brian, that when Mr. Mueller left in September of 2013 and James Comey was coming on, FBI employees, and I'm told hundreds of them, signed a letter. And essentially the letter said, the FBI is being deliberately led in the wrong direction, and we have some chance and some time to turn it around, and we hope you do that, and we'll be committed to helping you. Comey ignored the letter and kept on the same course, and you saw what happened in 2015 and 2016. The FBI hit the rocks, and so did the country.
That is, again, FBI Assistant Deputy Director Turchie, former, I should say, pointing out that when Mueller left in September 2013, Comey was coming on, all these FBI employees signed a letter and said, so glad you're here because we've been going down a wrong road. You could set things right again. And he ignored the letter, continued the same course, and that was continue to go after Donald Trump. And there is the difference. There is the difference. Why are the Democrats so suspicious of the FBI in years past? And then as this is taking place inside the FBI, they suddenly, whoa, we love the FBI as much as Agent Smurf loves Lisa Page.
The bottom line is the FBI that used to be fidelity, bravery, and integrity was rebuilt and recast as an FBI all about diversity, equality, and social justice. So it's a better fit for the people who now are not going to turn around and complain about exactly what they wanted. And that's a real dangerous time for us. There should be no kind of political agenda or bias inside the FBI.
There shouldn't be. But the left, of course, was attacking the FBI when it was dealing with its real job. But when it became weaponized for the left to go after Trump, oh, we love it. I mean, here are some examples. A 2014 article in The Atlantic titled, How FBI Lies Can Damage Civil Society. That was 2014, of course. And then 2017, The Daily Beast titled a piece, The FBI's War on Civil Rights Leaders. So they were not liking the FBI, but now, instead of being suspicious, hating the FBI, they love it. And, of course, as you look at the stories coming out last week, on the mainstream media about unmasking the identity of Flynn, Michael Flynn, and who was involved in that, all the names, Clapper, Brennan, Comey, so forth and so on. The mainstream media just, we don't really have time for that story. Let's focus on COVID-19. Let's focus on the new swimsuit models coming out. It's anything other than the facts that the FBI story is being blown apart from the inside. All right, we'll take a break when we come back. There is one business that apparently is picking up additional members because of COVID-19 quarantines. This is a, I don't know, you're going to tell me, do you understand this? Because when I look at this story I'm going to tell you about, I look at it and think, well, that's, I don't know how you look at it. I mean, there's a lot to see there. Let me put it that way. When we continue.
Walking down the street. woman.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So as we pointed out earlier, last Friday, of course, after we had our Friday show, the House of Representatives did pass a $3 trillion coronavirus relief bill. Pelosi couldn't get all of her members on board. Most liberal members of her party say it's not enough. We want more. We want more. We want more. Give me. We want more pie in the sky. We want more than what you put in there. The GOP is already calling it a liberal wish list that's dead on arrival in the Senate. One of the Democrats complaining about what they're doing with such wish lists acknowledges that this is not good for what we need right now. Congressman Cunningham, Democrat, South Carolina, saying at a time when our country's in real trouble, we should not be spending precious time on one-sided solutions that aren't going anywhere. But you had all the other Democrats saying, oh, no, we need this, we need this. Inside the legislation, expanding the $1,200 checks to undocumented immigrants, that's right. Restoring the full state and local tax deduction that helps individuals in high-tax blue states. $25 billion rescue for the U.S. Postal Office. And allowing legal marijuana business to access banking services. And, of course, early voting and vote-by-mail provisions. Congressman Tom Cole, Republican of Oklahoma, stating clearly, so much of this is simply has nothing to do with the current crisis. It's more like a liberal Christmas wish list. Makes no sense. Makes no sense. No, it doesn't in any way. But now, of course, we'll see how the Senate deals with it. In fact, one Democrat congressman has already said, look, we'll send it over to you guys. And cut out what you don't like, send it back. Well, that's what's going to happen. And, of course, we probably will have some other stimulus bill passed at some point before November. And that will be the last one. That will probably be the last one before we get to November. I don't know if it's going to actually help the American public at that point. Many of them are already suffering because they haven't gotten the money they thought they should already. And, of course, we continue to have so many businesses and things closed down. We do have more states beginning to relax the rules. All but two states, Connecticut and Massachusetts, have loosened stay-at-home restrictions. 18 states showing a downward trend of new cases. 18 states. The challenge, of course, is keeping a lid on new cases and deaths while we try to get the economy going again. Texas, which was one of the first to start reopening, I'll take note for you, had its highest single-day increase in new cases over the weekend. Now, restaurants, movie theaters, malls have been open for a little more than 2 weeks. The governor of Texas says the increase in cases is actually due to more testing, not the fact that there are more cases. That's the other thing to keep in mind. As we expand testing and do more testing, we're going to find more evidence of folks carrying COVID-19, whether or not they actually have COVID-19 themselves and suffering from it. Now, of course, in the midst of all of this, you've had a lot of groups and organizations have to change schedules. Folks aren't going to attend church, for instance. They're not having Boy Scout meetings. Casinos closed down. Poker games, even home games, are not holding up. I can tell you experience, except for going online. But if you're looking for something where there's growth, there's a group that has seen a 100% increase in new members in the midst of this coronavirus pandemic. 100% increase in new members. They're gaining consistently. And they got more and more folks lining up to sign up. This organization is known as British Naturism. That would be promoting living everyday life without clothing. I mean, living naked, butt naked, butt naked. How do you want to describe it? It's in Britain, the UK, but who knows? We might see it happen here. They are seeing more and more folks come forward because of the quarantine. He said, I'm sure that suddenly, then, you know, maybe the best way to avoid getting anything, having anything that might be contaminated, is just don't put any clothing on. Yep. He said, we got folks signing up for naked yoga, virtual pub meetings, a nude coffee morning gathering. They're all doing it virtual right now. But they want to get together and have more nude meetings. And he said, I think some are doing it because, you know, you don't have to spend money or time washing clothes. Really? Well, I guess that's true. Who knew? Who would have thought COVID-19 would lead to more signing up for nudist organizations? Coming up in the next hour, let's put China on the spot. And in fact, evidence that China is profiteering in the midst of this, and that might have been their plan from the very, very beginning, in addition to making the entire world sick. That story coming up when we return.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.